We're in Leviticus 13. Oh, it's just the volume was way down. Leviticus. Vayikra, right? Back in the day. Let's pray. Father, as we look into your holy word, we pray your blessings. You say that your word won't come back void. It will send it. When you send it out, it's going to accomplish the purpose that you send it out for. Accomplish that purpose in our hearts tonight, in Jesus' name. Amen. It's a long chapter, and it's about leprosy, which is a type of sin, and I think that's the interesting spot, a part of it. If this is all about like blemishes and skin irregularities and I don't know a wart from a wen, from a carbuncle, so I'm not going to have any intelligent things to say about that and just let the word speak for itself. Let's just jump right in. I'd like to get chapter 13 and half of chapter 14 done. And chapter 13 is very long. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, when a man shall have in the skin of his flesh a rising, a scab, or bright spot, and if it be in the skin of his flesh like the plague of leprosy, then he shall be brought unto Aaron the priest or unto one of his sons the priest. It's not just Levitical, it's priest. And the priest, you're going to find, in every instance, is going to determine if it's leprosy or not. But he's not the judge. He's not the arbitrator. It's the word of God is, and he just applies the word of God. Now, excuse me. Leprosy is a type of sin. And we're not saying, of course, that if you have a leprosy, then you are a sinner. And we're not saying that any kind of sickness means you're a sinner. I just have to say that because there are those people who feel that way. Can God use sickness in our life to either test us or get our attention or bring us home or whatever? Yeah, but I'll let the Pharisees and the judges in our life. I'll let Job's counselors determine that. I never want to be that type of person who says that, because you don't know that. If somebody gets sick, were they sinning? Yes. Is that why they're sick? Well, doubtful. Who knows that? We're all sinners, and we all could get sick. Is sickness subject to sin? Well, it's subject to the fall. We fell in Adam and Eve, and then sickness came. So yes, sin is, in a sense, a direct result of the fall. Sickness came from sin, yeah, in that sense. But every time you get a runny nose, it's because you've been looking at porn. No, not necessarily. We're not saying anything like that. But here it's a type, a picture of, and in some kind of remarkable ways. So you don't go to the doctor, you go to the priest. Why? Because, as I say, it's a type of sin. And the priest shall look on the plague. And by the way, there's no nurses and doctors at this point. And the priest shall look on the plague in the skin of the flesh. And when the hair in the plague is turned white, and the plague in sight is deeper than the skin of his flesh, it is a plague of leprosy, and the priest shall look on him and pronounce him unclean. I think the white hair has to do with death. Like, you know, it's, okay, it's deeper than the skin. It's more than skin deep is what's going on here, is the picture. And it's what's coming, emanating from it, is death. If that's the case, unclean. If the bright spot be white in the skin of his flesh, and his sight be not deeper than the skin, the hair thereof be not turned white, and the priest shall shut him up that he hath the plague 7 days. Isolation. And why do we have to rush to judgment anyway? Let's just see how this thing develops. Boy, so we see somebody and they have this questionable, I don't know. We're not judges, but we are fruit inspectors, and we're thinking about, I don't know, should I speak to him? Should I? Well, speak to God. You get 7 days, put it that way. And so, you know, on our knees, we seek the Lord, and we're asking, should I intervene? Should I say something? Should I, as priests, you know, let's not rush into this thing. Somebody's cheating on their wife. Should we speak to them? Yes. Is that wrong? Yes. We know that. We have verses and everything. Somebody's, I don't know, is that quite a, I don't know. Well, let's just pray about it, shall we? That's not chickening out. That's, I think Scripture says that here. And the priest shall look on him again the seventh day, and behold, if the plague be somewhat dark, and the plague spread not in the skin, the priest shall pronounce him clean. It is but a scab, and he shall wash his clothes and be clean. Okay, I got all nerved up, and I found out it was very innocent, and great, he's clean. Let's keep moving on. Sin is not stagnant, so we can wait 7 days. It will reveal itself. You know what I mean? And if the scab spread much abroad in the skin after he hath been seen of the priest for his cleansing, he shall be seen of the priest again. And if the priest see that, behold, the scab spreadeth in the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a leprosy. So we misdiagnosed. It didn't look like it was any worse. As a matter of fact, it seemed to be getting better. Now it's all over him. It's spread everywhere. Okay, we still can re-diagnose is the idea. When the plague of leprosy is in a man, then he shall be brought unto the priest. The priest shall see him. Behold, if the rising be white in the skin, and it have turned the hair white, and there be quick raw flesh in the rising, it is an old leprosy in the skin of the flesh, and the priest shall pronounce him unclean, and shall not shut him up, for he is unclean. We don't have to look at the 7 days. We know what we're looking at. It's an old leprosy. It's been around for a long time. That's the way it is with sin sometimes. It's nothing new. We've seen it, and it's been in his life for a long, long season. If a leprosy break out abroad in the skin, and the leprosy cover all the skin of him that hath the plague from his head even to his foot, wheresoever the priest looketh, and the priest shall consider him. Behold, if the leprosy have covered all his flesh, he shall pronounce him clean that hath the plague. It is turned white. He is clean. So, the thing here is in real time, at this time, okay, he's got spots from head to toe. Well, we call it chicken pox or measles or... my mom was telling me about, I had this disease and I remember it was kind of chicken pox-like, but it wasn't. And it was just dots and they were itchy all over. I can't remember. It began with P. And I had chicken pox and I had the measles, okay? And this was a different thing altogether. But it wasn't leprosy. Imagine, a guy comes and he's got the measles, right? And a 7 day quarantine would be a good idea. But leprosy is a death sentence. Take about 12 to 15 years to die, but it's a death sentence. You're away from your family forever. So if Uncle Ned got married, you ain't going. If Aunt Sheila died, you ain't going to the funeral. If there's a big birthday celebration, you ain't invited. So you're away from family and friends, and you're living a life of separation, and we want to get this right. But when raw flesh, verse 14, appeareth in him, he shall be unclean. And the priest shall see the raw flesh. And did you guys just have supper? We have a lot of raw flesh and swelling and all kinds of good... unctuous kind of things happening this whole time. And the priest shall see the raw flesh and pronounce him to be unclean, for the raw flesh is unclean, it is a leprosy. Or if the raw flesh turn again, he be be changed unto white, he shall come unto the priest, and the priest shall see him. Behold, if the plague be turned unto white, then the priest shall pronounce him clean that hath the plague. He is clean. The flesh also, in which even as the skin thereof, was a boil and is healed. And in the place of the boil, there be a white rising or a bright spot, white and somewhat reddish, and it be shewed to the priest. And if when the priest seeth, behold, it be in sight lower than the skin, that's always one of the conditions, lower than the skin. It's more than skin deep. And the hair thereof be turned white, in other words, what's emanating from it is death. The priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a plague of leprosy broken out of the boil. If the priest look on it, behold, there be no white hairs therein. If it be not lower than the skin, but be somewhat dark, then the priest shall shut him up 7 days. And if it spread much abroad in the skin, the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a plague. And if the bright spot stay in his place and spread not, it is a burning boil, and the priest shall pronounce him clean. Okay? We just got a boil. Now, you got problems enough. Don't add leprosy to it, because it's not in that case. Or if there be any flesh in the skin whereof, I'm in verse 24, where there is a hot burning, and the quick flesh that burneth have a white bright spot, somewhat reddish or white. Then the priest shall look upon it, and behold, if the hair in the bright spot be turned white, and if it be in sight deeper than the skin, it is a leprosy broken out of the burning. Wherefore the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is the plague of leprosy. If the priest look on it, and behold, there be no white hair in the bright spot, and if it be no lower than the other skin, but be somewhat dark, then the priest shall shut him up in 7 days. And the priest shall look upon him the seventh day, and if it be spread much abroad in the skin, the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is the plague of leprosy. Sometimes it turns out good, sometimes it turns out bad. Most often it turns out bad, though, if you're counting and keeping score. So if it happens this way, if it happens this way. Were you writing all this down? You taking vigorous notes? No, because we're not. It's a type of sin, okay? And we're not really trying to determine if somebody has Hansen's disease. About 5,000 sufferers in the U.S., and they can arrest it. They can't cure it. And as last I knew, there was no any kind of shot you could get to prevent it, but it's not a huge problem here in the United States. It's called Hansen's disease. In the 1900s, a doctor, Hansen, isolated the bacillus that caused it. 15 million sufferers worldwide at any given time. Verse 27, priest shall look upon him the seventh day. If it be much spread abroad in the skin, the priest shall pronounce him unclean as a plague of leprosy. And if the bright spot stay in his place and spread not in the skin, but it be somewhat dark, it is a rising of the burning, and the priest shall pronounce him clean, for it is an inflammation of the burning. So one of the things, if it's not spreading, okay, sin spreads. If a man or woman have a plague upon the head or the beard, women with beards, this is funny. So obviously leprosy spread to the carnival show, right? I think it's sin if a man or woman have a plague upon the head or the beard in the case of men, but it doesn't say that, it doesn't read that. I think you're supposed to just, you know, figure that part of it out. Then the priest shall see the plague, and behold, if it be in sight deeper than the skin, and if there be in it a yellow thin hair, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a dry skull, even leprosy upon the head or beard. If the priest look on the plague of the skull, and behold, it be not in sight deeper than the skin, and that there is no black hair in it, then the priest shall shut him up, him that hath the plague of the skull, 7 days. And the seventh day the priest shall look on the plague, and behold, if the skull spread not, and there be in it no yellow hair, and the skull be not in sight deeper than the skin, he shall be shaven, but the skull shall he not shave. So you shave him completely. And the priest shall shut him up that hath the skull 7 more days. And in the seventh day the priest shall look on the skull, and behold, if the skull be not spread in the skin, nor be in sight deeper than the skin, the priest shall pronounce him clean, and he shall wash his clothes and be clean. But if the skull spread much in the skin after his cleansing. So, you know, you read this, if the skull spread much, you know where we're going with it. Okay, because you're wondering, like, okay, yellow hair, black hair, what's all that about? What's a white hair? What's that? But if you're talking about spreading and deeper than the skin, those are bad things. If the skull spread much in the skin after his cleansing, the priest shall look on him, and behold, if the skull be spread in the skin, the priest shall not seek for yellow hair. He is unclean. But if the skull be in his sight at a stay, it's not spreading, right? And that there is black hair grown up therein, the skull is healed, he is clean, the priest shall pronounce him clean. If a man also or a woman have in the skin of their flesh bright spots, even white bright spots, then the priest shall look, and behold, if the bright spots in the skin of the flesh be darkish white, it is a freckled spot that groweth in the skin, he is clean. And the man whose hair is fallen off his head, he is bald, yet is he clean. And he that hath his hair fallen off from the part of his head toward his face, he is forehead bald, yet is he clean. If there be in the bald head or bald forehead a white reddish sore, it is a leprosy sprung up in his bald head or his bald forehead. Then the priest shall look upon it, and behold, if the rising of the sore be white reddish in his bald head or in his bald forehead, as the leprosy appeareth in the skin of the flesh, he is a leprous man, he is unclean. The priest shall pronounce him utterly unclean, his plague is in his head. And the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent, and his head bare, and he shall put a covering upon his upper lip, and shall cry, unclean, unclean. So, okay, in all these cases, when we find out that it's leprosy, what do? It's verse 45. And the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent. Tear your clothes is a sign of tearing your heart. It's a sign of extreme anguish. You just got a death sentence. I should think nobody should have to tell you to rend your clothes. His head bare, he shall put a covering upon his upper lip. Looks like a little cloth mustache, right? And he shall cry, unclean, unclean, at 100 paces. But I think that comes later, and I think that's a rule of thumb or a law that grew up around the law. Here it just says, you shall cry, unclean, unclean. They say it at like 100 paces, depending if you're upwind or downwind. You could smell a leper, but somebody's skin is rotting off their body. I would imagine it doesn't smell like roses. All the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled, he is unclean. He shall dwell alone, without the camp shall his habitation be. We don't throw sinners out. We don't make them dwell apart anymore. They generally choose that for themselves. That's what leprosy does. It makes you live alone. So can you be embroiled in sin, servant to sin? It's more than skin deep. It's who I am, and it's emanating death and putrefying sores, and I'm not whole or sound, but I can still be in the congregation of the people of God, lifting my hands, worshiping the Lord, singing praise to him like a songbird, fellowshipping with the saints. No, not generally. If we're not quarantined, I'll quarantine myself, because that's just the natural, that's how we feel. And Satan's there to condemn us. Unclean, unclean. And we wonder if we're really saved, or if we just, we're going through the motions, but there's always a separation. And it's always a kind of a sad thing, aloneness. Sin doesn't make you want fellowship. It makes you, the tendency is to be alone. So every time somebody, you know, they're here and they're here every time the door is open, and then they, you know, kind of cool a little bit, and then they kind of fall away. Is it always sin? Let me not be the judge, but, well, the falling away is coolness towards the Lord. I mean, that's the whole thing. Okay. The garment also that the plague of leprosy is in, whether it be a woolen garment or a linen garment, whether it be in the warp or woof of linen, or of woolen weather in a skin, or in anything made of skin. What's the warp or the woof? Anyone know what that is? But which is in which direction? The warp goes this way. Longitude and latitude is the warp, and the woof is this way. Because I worked in a woolen mill. Unless you worked in a wool, you'd never know this. Because they have these things called looms and these big things, and they make blankets and things like that. And it was and out of wool too. But those kind of, we don't make a lot of wool garments these days. If the plague be greenish or reddish in the garment or in the skin, either in the warp or the woof or in any thing of skin, it is a plague of leprosy and shall be showed unto the priest. And the priest shall look upon the plague and shut up it that hath the plague 7 days. So if it's a wool coat, it's going with the priest for 7 days. We're going to take a look at it. And he shall look at it on the plague on the seventh day. If the plague be spread in the garment, and it always will if it's a leprosy, right? Either in the warp or in the wolf or in the skin or in any work that is made of skin. Skin here is leather, is what they're talking about. Skin. It's not dermis, right? It's animal skin. It's leather. Or some kind of fur issue. Or in any work that is made of skin, the plague is a fretting leprosy, it is unclean. He shall therefore burn the garment, whether warp or wolf or woolen, or in linen, or anything of skin, wherein the plague is, for it is a fretting leprosy, it shall be burnt in the fire. And the priest shall look, and behold, the plague be not spread in the garment, either in the warp or the woof, or in anything of skin. The priest shall command that they wash the thing wherein the plague is, and he shall shut it up 7 days. And the priest shall look on the plague after that it is washed, and behold, if the plague have not changed its color, and the plague be not spread, it is unclean. Thou shalt burn it in the fire, it is fret inward, whether it be bare within or without. And the priest shall look, and behold, the plague be somewhat dark after the washing of it. Then he shall rend it out of the garment, or out of the skin, or out of the warp, or out of the woof. So you're going to tear off that bad piece. And if it appears still in the garment, either in the warp, or in the woof, or in anything of skin, it is a spreading plague. Thou shalt burn that wherein the plague is with fire. And the garment, either warp or woof, or whatsoever thing of skin it be, which thou shalt wash, if the plague be departed from then it shall be washed a second time, and shall be clean. This is the law of the plague of leprosy, in a garment or woolen or linen, either in the warp or woof, or anything of skins, to pronounce it clean or to pronounce it unclean. It's an amazing thing. It is to me. So here you go, and this is all about, okay, you got this coat, you got this iPhone. Is there any leprosy in it? Could be. There could be. And what do we do with that? Well, we check it over, we look it over. We wash, right? How do we wash? In the water of the Word. And we try to take that thing, we try to clean it up. Why? By ditching the history. We'll erase the history and all that stuff. Now it's clean, right? Perhaps is that would be part of it. And then we make a new start. I'm too weak. I can't have this in my pocket. I'm looking at stuff that a man of God oughtn't look at. At some point, I don't care if it's the warp or the wolf or if it's wool or it's gotta go. It's gotta go. I would say this is a lot of things in our life. I remember a time when I was playing golf all the time, and the Lord, and I was getting pretty good, and my handicap was coming down. I was keeping score and everything like that. I was kind of a hobby, and I wasn't, you know, preaching or anything. It was before I had a church. It wasn't like wasting time. Suze was like working nights, and she was closing up the place 2 or 3 nights a week. So after work, I'd play a round of golf. And I was getting kind of good. And I don't think any of those things are bad, except I was taking it like throwing a hissy fit when I made a bad shot, and I was trying to. And I remember the Lord challenged me, Adam, is this becoming an idol? Because I know how to take this away if it is. And I'm, oh, no, no, Lord. No, it's fine. I'm fine. No, I'm just, okay, I was a little tense. You're right. I'm going to be cool about this. And I got to a place where, like, okay, don't take it seriously, fool. You don't want to lose this. You don't want to become sinning on the golf course. If you're going to be, like, throwing clubs or swearing or acting like an idiot, you can't play golf. Is there anything wrong with golf? No, I don't think so. Or whatever it is you're doing. Because we can take anything and make it unpure or unclean, or we can take anything that's a fun, frivolous, relaxing activity and go to that point where it becomes an idol. Let's say I'm becoming like really good, like single digit, you know, my handicap's like 4. And I'm knocking the ball all around. I'm always putting for birdie, or and par is like, oh, I can't believe I only made a par. And I'm, you know, every once in a while I'm bogeying about a lot more birdies. Then it's come like, now it's like, can it become like an idol? I think it can. I think anything you can do more than it should, and I think you can get to the point where our heart is such an idol factory. And I give you that one example, but You know, if you're imaginative enough, you can think of all your own. And there's a time when you can wash it. You can even wash it a second time, and it may end up clean. And there's sometimes, nope, we just going to have to destroy that in the fire. That's all there is to it. And let God speak to our hearts about this and cleanse us. What in my life, Lord, has to go? Because it doesn't have to be sin to be wrong. I know people can watch movies all day long, and that's fine. There's some things that should just not go in my eyes. I used to like horror movies. I can't do that anymore. I don't like extreme violence. It's not good for my soul. And you say, it's just a movie, Adam. It's just an army movie. You know, they don't shoot each other with cap guns, and now they're just more realistic. God bless you. Watch it. Have a great time. Me, I'm not being anyone's judge. There's just some things that don't work with me. Alcohol doesn't work with me. So I'm not telling you the Bible says don't drink. I'm not saying that. I'm saying it's one of those things. You better be make sure you and God are on the same page about it. Let's keep moving, though. Chapter 4. And there's a I pull out a few examples, but you can the examples are endless. So you can look at your own life and see what should go, what should just be washed and maintained in such and such a way. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, chapter 14. Now, chapter 14 is remarkable. What happens when you're cleansed? You had leprosy, and instead of that 12 to 15 year downward spiral into death, you're restored, and you're cleansed. What happens in that case? Well, let's not worry about that. It never happened. Jesus said it never happened. He said, hey, there were plenty of lepers in the time of Elijah, and he didn't heal any except the woman of Zarephath, which, by the way, that would make their head explode. They would get very, very upset about that. Not the widow of Zarephath. Naaman the leper is what happened in that situation. He goes on to say that Elijah went to the widow of Zarephath to get fed. You remember? Both of those, they have one thing in common. They're both Gentiles. And Jesus' point is God working among the Gentiles. And it get people very excited to the point they're going to throw him off a cliff. The point was, as he said, nobody ever has been healed before of leprosy, and he's healing lepers. I think chapter 14 of Leviticus is written to Annas and Caiaphas. Particularly, this chapter is dedicated to them out of the whole Bible. Remember, he heals a leper, and he heals 10 lepers another time. What did he say? Don't tell anyone. Go show yourself to the priest. Imagine what happens when they come to the priest. Hey, Benjamin's outside. Benjamin who? Benjamin, that guy you said was a leper 5 years ago. Oh, yeah, he had it bad. Yeah, that was an easy open and shut case. Well, he's here now and he's cleansed. He's what? Yeah, and he's going to do the offering that... You ever do that? I never do that offering. I mean, no one's ever... Remember, Miriam, she had that. But that was before this happened, probably. And nobody's ever done this offering before. And the priests don't know anyone who's ever done this offering. And here's this, I think, written just to these two men to give them testimony. Did they know Jesus was the Christ, the Messiah? Of course they did. Of course they did. And here's God offering testimony to them that it is the case. Which leads me to the conclusion, Jesus loved Annas and Caiaphas. We make them bad guys when we talk about them in Scripture, and so they are. In the heart of God, he would have saved them. If only. Chapter 14, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, this shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought unto the priest. And remember, again, when I said this earlier, but just remember this. It's not the priest making the call. It's the word of God making the call. The priest is just the observer. But the observer of what? A type of sin. Okay, so we don't make the call. That you got to get that out of your life. That's sin. That's wrong. Who are you to judge me? That's what we always get. So I'm not judging. The word of God says, and I better have the word of God. I better have a verse. If it's me making a judgment call, the priests don't get to do that. They go by what the book says, and then they have the ability to say, well, this is what the word of God says. And remember that, fellow priests. It's not what we say is right and what we say is wrong. Listen, Christianity is full of that. I remember playing cards. I think it's cribbage or something godly like that. And somebody said, oh, you don't play with those devil cards, do you? Now, we don't talk like that these days much because we kind of, the whole church is, we're not worried about who's playing cards anymore, right? I mean, generally, we've moved on to different things and we're, our arguments are about different things. And we're having, our debate is not what's wrong. Why is everything right is our debate. You know what I mean? There is nothing you can do wrong anymore, practically. But there was a time when everyone was a Pharisee and everyone was looking for faults. And, you know, your white skirt wasn't quite long enough. And, you know, the makeup was an issue. Of course, alcohol always been an issue. You know, things like, you know, men's hair length and women's hair length. And whether a person should wear a tie to church. And we had all these hyper, and we couldn't have a verse about one of them whatsoever. And we were making calls, I think, that God had never. And how many people did that whole generation chase out of church? You know, someone come in and, you know, we're supposed to wear a tie here, young man. And he's like, I don't even own a tie. Well, you better buy one. And he'd say, yeah, I'm sorry, and walk out and never come back. We can't make those calls, is what I'm trying to say. We can't say things are unclean. We just go by the word, and we can pass on what the word says. Okay, enough said, Fred. Let's go to chapter 14. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, it shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought unto the priest. The priest shall go forth out of the camp. This is a wonderful picture of Jesus coming out to meet us where we are. The priest shall go forth out of the camp, and the priest shall look, and behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper, then shall the priest command to take for him, that is to be cleaned, two birds, alive and clean, and cedar wood and scarlet and hyssop. How much of each? Doesn't say. And the priest shall, but we know there's two birds, and the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. The earthen vessel is a picture of Jesus Christ and his humanity. Of course, the running water, the living water, is a picture of the Holy Spirit of God. And as for the living bird, so you kill one of the birds, right? In this earthen vessel, and you have there's the running water there. And as for the living bird, he shall take it and the cedar wood and the scarlet and the hyssop and shall dip them and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water, and he shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy seven times. You take the blood, right, from the that you caught in the earthen vessel with the hyssop. It's kind of like a branch. Think of it like almost like a paintbrush. And you sprinkle it over the him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy seven times, seven completion, right, and pronounce him clean. And shall let the living bird loose in the open field. So you take the bird that's alive and you let him go. It's blood covered and it's flying away. One bird died so the other bird can go free, is the picture. And that's, if you can't trace that back to Jesus, I don't think you're paying attention, right? It's like the Yom Kippur, the one goat dies, the other goat, the Azazel, is freed and let out into the wilderness, the idea of carrying our sins far from us. And he that is to be cleansed shall wash his clothes and shave off all his hair. And when it says all his hair, it means all his hair. When talking about a shaved head, we're talking about a shaved head, a shaved beard, a shaved eyebrows, and then from the shoulders down to the toes, shaved. Shaved, cue ball, shaved. Shave off all his hair. What's the idea? Like a newborn baby kind of reminds me of. And he shall wash himself in water. The washing in water, I always think, is a picture of the Bible, the picture of the Word of God. Living water, running water, right, is a picture of the Holy Spirit. Water used to cleanse is a picture of the Bible. Now you are clean by the word that I've spoken unto you, Jesus says. And I think so that verse helps you remember that. Because I think you'll find that all the way through Scripture. It's a picture of the cleansing and the cleansing that comes from the word. Will the word cleanse you? Yeah. You say, I thought the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. But how do you find out about that other than the word of God? The word of God has a cleansing effect on us. Will it pay for our sin? No, the blood of Jesus does that. But it'll take us from sin. It'll remove us from sin. It'll bring us to the place of repentance. We'll read in the word, you know, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. What do you do when you read a verse like that? You confess your sins. You get the cleansing. You see, you read in Scripture and you see the mirror that is the word of God. You see yourself in it in an unflattering way. And then that brings about confession. And I think the best thing any person could do is stay in the Word of God continuously as far as a spiritual discipline. Oh, so he's going to shave off all his hair. He's going to wash himself with water that he may be clean. And after that, he shall come into the camp and shall tarry abroad out of his tent 7 days. What is into the camp? Fellowship restored. And it shall be on the seventh day that he shall shave all his hair off his head and his beard and his eyebrows, even all the hair shall he shave off. He shall wash his clothes. Also he shall wash his flesh in water. He shall be clean. On the eighth day, what's the eighth day? It's the day of new beginnings. By the way, what day of the week did Jesus rise from the dead? The eighth day. It was a Sunday. Well, that was the first day of the week. Well, next week would be the eighth. It's the kind of the idea of new beginnings. All through Scripture, I think, when you say, see here on the eighth day. Has he got a new beginning? Oh, he's got a whole new lease on life. He was a leper. His toes were falling off. His fingers were falling off. His ears, his nose. His skin was rotting. He stunk to high heaven. It was only a matter of time before he died. That's a picture of sin, if you ask me. It's rotting effect on us. It's how we stink to high heaven, how it just makes us unacceptable, how it just makes us, it's a death sentence, sin is. And now we're cleansed. Oh, I think that's a new lease on life. I think that's a day of a new start. And the eighth day he shall take two he lambs without blemish and one ewe lamb of the first year without blemish and 3/10 deals of fine flour for a meat offering mingled with oil and one log of oil. And the priest said, that maketh him clean shall present the man that is made clean and those things before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And the priest shall take one he lamb and offer him for a trespass offering and the log of oil and wave them for a wave offering before the Lord. And he shall slay the lamb in the place where he shall kill the sin offering and the burnt offering in the holy place. For as the sin offering is the priest's, so is the trespass it is offering. It is most holy. So what happens here? How does the guy come up with three lambs? He doesn't have any money. He's not working. If he had any money, he'd have used it all to buy food, what he could. He's mostly begging. These lambs, ostensibly, are supplied by the priest. So you have a burnt offering, you have a trespass offering, and you have a sin offering. All of these are for consumption and for offering, except the burnt offering is totally 100% burnt up. And again, that's the idea of consecration. And the priest shall take some of the blood of the trespass offering, and it talked about the wave offering too, remember. And the priest shall put it upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of the right hand, and upon the great right toe of his right foot. Where did we see that? Ah, when they consecrated the priest, we saw that same thing. So he's cleansed, he's restored to fellowship, and now they're going to make him a priest too. You say, that's remarkable. I wonder how the priest felt about that. This guy was a leper, now he's one of us. If they're men of God, they would have felt like you and I feel when somebody gets saved. Is it jealousy? Listen, you get somebody saved, right? And they get all the rights and privileges of being a child of God that you have. Is it jealousy? No, you're celebrating like the angels in heaven are celebrating, right? And we think, come on in, and, you know, the water's fine and there's plenty to go around. It's not like our, you know, God who has everything, it's not like we get a smaller slice of the pie. God just makes more pies. I mean, don't worry about it. There's plenty to go around. I mean, there's plenty of blessing. We're not diminished by another one coming into the kingdom. I wonder how they felt about this. I wonder how Annas and Caiaphas felt about this because they're the only ones who are doing this. They must be opening a Torah scroll and reading this as they're doing it. I need some cedar. I need some hyssop. We got to get some lambs. I ain't got no money. I'm a leper. we'll take care of it. I mean, think about what's going on here. And the priest shall take some of the log of oil and pour it onto the palm of his own left hand. The priest shall dip his right finger in the oil that is in his left hand, shall sprinkle the oil with his finger 7 times before the Lord, and the rest of the oil that is in his hand shall the priest put upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of the right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot, upon the blood of the trespass offering. So he's got the blood on his ear, on his right hand, and on his toe of his big toe of his right foot. And then the oil goes on his right ear, his right thumb, and the big toe of his right foot. What is he saying? Of course, we talked about this before. Cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. Now I can hear what you're saying to me, Lord. Right hand cleansed. Now for service to the Lord, you know. And now the idea of the foot, the toe being, you know, cleansed by the blood. I'm ready to do your service, Lord. Is that all we need? No. We can't be doing all that stuff. We're cleansed, but now we need the power to do it, because doing the Lord's work in the power of the flesh is fruitless. I'm not saying it's sinful. I'm saying it's ineffectual. So, Lord, we need what? We need the oil, the power of the Holy Spirit, the anointing on our ear. I'm hearing you, Lord. I'm listening to you now. And now the Spirit's power on our hand to do the work of the Lord, and the Spirit's power on our feet to travel, to walk with the Lord, and to go in the direction you have us go. I don't think a lot of us has figured that out yet. I don't think a lot of us figured out. Well, that's for priests 4,000 years ago. We're a kingdom of priests. We don't have to kill a lamb. One's already been slain on our behalf. Is his right ear, is his blood attached to our right ear? We're bathed in the blood. Not just our ear and our hand and our feet. You know, like, you know, it's kind of like where Jesus is to Peter, you know. He's, Lord, you're never going to wash my feet. Well, you're going to have no part in me. Well, my hands and my head also, then. I need a whole bath. No, one who's cleansed need only his feet be washed, Jesus says. We get the picture. But then the idea is like the Spirit filling. I mean, what happened after they were saved? Pentecost happened. What happened before Pentecost? Nothing much. Nothing as far as rolling the kingdom out. How many people were saved by Peter before Pentecost? What happens after the filling of the Spirit? Oh, remarkable things. And I think this is the picture. And I don't think we've all settled that in our heart. Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Will he? Yeah. Yeah. What will that look like? You tell me. Fill me with your Spirit, Lord. I want to do what you want me to do. I don't know if we all made that. Well, you know, I'm saved and I'm born again. I'm going to heaven. And I do some spiritual things. But, you know, Lord, come on, you know, because consecration is burnt offering stuff. I think it's a little over the top. How about a little for me and a little for you? And I'll go to church and I'll even put some money. I'll put even a tithe in. But the rest of my life, just kind of back off and let me live it. I would say that's much of Christianity today. Am I being judgmental? I don't know. I talk with people. I see the rising in the flesh, the bright shiny spot, the concave under the skin kind of stuff. I mean, I'm not trying to be anyone's judge. I see what the Word's saying. And I think like God's saying, listen, this is what I want, all in. I want the burnt offering, totally consumed. And the remnant of the oil is in the priest's hands. You're going to pour on the head of him that is to be cleansed, and the priest shall make an atonement for him before the Lord. So after he anoints, he sprinkles the oil, the rest of the oil, his right ear, right thumb, the great toe of his right foot. Now he's got some more oil in his hand. He pours it on the head of him that is to be cleansed, and the priest shall make an atonement for him before the Lord. So we don't even waste any. It goes on him. The priest shall offer the sin offering and make an atonement for him that is to be cleansed from his uncleanness. And after he shall kill the burnt offering. And the priest shall offer the burnt offering and the meat offering upon the altar. And the priest shall make an atonement for him, and he shall be clean. If he be poor and cannot get so much, is he poor? Probably. I don't know how many rich lepers there are who are carrying a bag of gold with them. Perhaps there are some. Seems like if you had leprosy and your wife didn't, it seems like you'd leave her all the gold, all the coins, all the wealth for her and the kids. Seems so. Maybe you'd take a little bit with you. I don't know. It depends how much you had. If he be poor and cannot get so much, then he shall take one lamb for a trespass offering to be waived and make an atonement for him. and 1/10 deal of fine flour mingled with oil for meat offering and for a log of oil, and 2 turtle doves or 2 young pigeons such as he is able to get. And the one shall be a sin offering, the other a burnt offering. So if you can't even afford a lamb, well, because you see God condescending, coming down to where we are. And he don't want, oh, I can't afford to be. You know, you can afford to be a Christian. You really can. How much does it cost? Everything. But it's not a financial thing. It's not like there are people, you know, in third world countries, they just don't have anything. Christianity doesn't work real good there. Excuse me? It works very good there. I'm not sure here in Disneyland in the West it works all good all the time. Well, it will work fine, but I think we have our eyes set on too many amusements and too many peripheral things. But God here, he condescends right down to the poorest of the poor, and 2 turtle doves or 2 young pigeons, such as he's able to get, and the one shall be a sin offering, the other a burnt offering. He shall bring them on the 8th day for his cleansing under the priest, under the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. Why is God so dead set on there has to be an offering? Because people have to acknowledge that something has happened. There has to be a line of demarcation. They have to understand that. They have to get the picture. The one dying for the other, the 2 pigeons and the one dying so the other go free. God wants to get the picture across. He doesn't want to, he's not drunk with blood. He's trying to make a point. And I think that's always the case. Again, bring them under the 8th day for his cleansing of the priest under the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. The priest shall take the lamb of the trespass offering, the log of oil. The priest shall wave them for wave offering before the Lord. And he shall kill the lamb of the trespass offering, and the priest shall take some of the blood of the trespass offering and put upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, upon the thumb of the right hand, upon the great toe of his right foot. And the priest shall pour of the oil into the palm of his own left hand. The priest shall sprinkle with his right finger some of the oil that is left hand 7 times before the Lord. And the priest shall put of the oil that is in the hand upon the tip of his right ear of him that is to be cleansed, upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot, upon the place of the blood of the trespass offering. And the rest of the oil that is in the priest's hand he shall put upon the top, upon the head of him that is to be cleansed, and make an atonement for him before the Lord. So it's exactly the same as before. And if anything is repeated over and over, I think in scriptures for emphasis. And he shall offer the one of the turtle doves or of the young pigeons, such as he can get, and the such as he can get is what he can afford, even such as he's able to get, the one for a sin offering, the other for a burnt offering, with the meat offering, and the priest shall make an atonement for him that is to be cleansed before the Lord. This is the law of him that in whom is the plague of leprosy, whose hand is not able to get that which pertaineth to his cleansing. Now, in verse 33, the Lord spoke unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, when you come into the land of Canaan. Now, this is a different thing. So we're going to save this for next time, okay? So that's the end of the... So we have a chapter and a half, remarkable, about leprosy and the cleansing of it. There's nothing like this anywhere else in antiquity. There's nothing like this anywhere else in the Bible. It's kind of a remarkable thing to me. God... caring, God stooping down, God, we're getting to the point of, okay, who gets to sleep with who, and who, what, it's very narrow, by the way, and there's a big long list of who can't sleep with who, sex in the desert, this is what God wants his holy people to do, we've already talked about food, there's cleansing, there's all kinds of stuff coming up still, and it's all about separation. Do it this way, don't do it like the world does. And here, like I say, what the world is, there's nothing in antiquity, anything like this. I think this is just a remarkable whole document here of, like I say, I don't know anything else that even comes close to